Hey, everyone. It's Friday. Going to be potentially wet, sort of damp weather. We're getting into that fall-like feel, which I know a lot of you are very excited about. I don't want to take that away from you, so just enjoy it while you can. We've got the mask stop taking place 8:30 today, and that is going to be at Wilkerson Insurers on Sunshine and Jefferson, 321 East Sunshine, to be exact. We've got KSGF mask, and I know a lot of folks, you know, you wear them, whether for your own, you know, just health or the health of others around you, or because you have to because of where you work. And so we thought we'd, you know, have those masks, KSGF, but also the Reagan quote about government not being the solution to the problem. So that you can make sure people, you know that you have some clarity about government's involvement in all of this. To get one, simply stop by Wilkerson Insurers today. Again, 321 East Sunshine. They open at 8:30. Please, just one per person. And it's first come, first serve. And once they're gone, they're gone. So you want to probably get there earlier than later. We're going to chat with Emily Johnson in just moments. But first, Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Hey, good morning. College of the Ozarks down at Point Lookout will be holding its annual 9/11 memorial ceremony in front of the college today. It is not open to the public, primarily because of the coronavirus. Branson Fire Chief Ted Martin is delivering remarks. The Vice President for Patriotic Activities on the college campus says this year will also be important, as it will be the first year that most incoming freshmen were born after the attacks back in 2001. Two men from Seymour sentenced to 5 years of probation and 100 hours of community service after pleading guilty to child molestation. Aaron Schwartz is 22 and Petey Schwartz is 18, pleaded guilty to sexually abusing their 13-year-old female relative. The brothers have been ordered to pay a fine and write an apology letter to the Amish community. And the leader of the University of Missouri is backtracking after blocking students who criticize his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic on Twitter. A spokesman says that system president and Columbia campus chancellor Moon Choi unblocked the accounts on Wednesday. A lawyer warned that he would sue if Choi did not unblock the students. The spokesman says some of the tweets were abusive and used expletives, but they say that others didn't even directly criticize Choi. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. A 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms today, mainly in the afternoon with a high of 80. Chance of showers, thunderstorms tonight, low of 65. Showers, thunderstorms possible tomorrow with a high of 80. Sunshine on Sunday with a high of 80. Cloudy, foggy, some area rain, and 64 now. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, is with us. How do you do?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
That is fantastic. Things, I trust, are just trucking along, as always, with you and your world.
They are, yes. August was our busiest month, I think, for a lot of agents this year, and we typically see kind of that, busyness continue into September and October, and then things kind of start to dwindle down a little bit for the year. But I think with interest rates being so awesome right now, you know, we're still in a seller's market and a lot of people are really trying to move or buy, you know, homes before the election. So that's kind of our big, you know, deadline right now, is that people are wanting to get, you know, refinances done because they just aren't sure what's to come, you know. Hopefully nothing changes and we continue to see this awesome economy move forward and our interest rates stay low, but that is at the back of a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I guess so. Just a little bit of extra planning there. And it's, you know, right now, even we talk about uncertainty, but there is a little bit of certainty, at least if things stay the same in terms of the next 4 years and, you know, the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. But if Biden gets in there, I do think there is a lot of, well, there clearly, you know, people don't really know. And what direction things are going to go, politics aside,
right.
There hasn't really been a related plan that has been explained.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see, you know, if things were really, really bad, then you'd be probably less worried because you think, I can only get better from here. But given, like you said, interest rates are where they are, and we are seeing this massive improvement of the economy to where we're headed back, hopefully, to where Trump got things. So there's a lot to lose and not a whole lot to gain.
Right.
And I could see, yeah, how that would make people want to go ahead and jump on it now.
Well, and I think, you know, our part of the world, we have such a great community here, and our cost of living is, you know, relatively low compared to the coastal communities. So, you know, like I spoke about before, we've seen a lot of people that are trying to move here, whether it's from California, Seattle, Texas, Florida. You know, I've worked with more out-of-state buyers this year than ever. So I think that's a testament to just our beliefs and our values and our, you know, area and what we've got going here. But with all that being said, you know, we're still in a seller's market because we are in just, we have no inventory out there for buyers to purchase. It is at an all-time low. You know, I get online when I wake up first thing in the morning to see, you know, what new listings have come on overnight, what's gone under contract. And every day it seems like we are just in a negative situation, meaning there may be 35 new listings, but 47 are under contract. So we can't seem to get ahead with more of a balanced market. So that's why we're still seeing houses sell within a matter of hours of going on the market. And then, you know, typically for several thousand dollars more than what they would normally be valued at in a more balanced market.
Yeah, and I know, and maybe you can tell us if this has held the same. At one point you said, well, there are a decent number of homes under this price and over this price, but there's this huge gap in the middle that has the missing inventory. Is that still the same?
Yes, that is still the same. You know, with the seller's market and home prices increasing because of that limited inventory, we cannot seem to keep homes under 300,000. So between 160,000 to 300,000 is really where we're seeing little to nothing be available, because when they do come on the market, they're selling immediately with multiple offers. Now, houses over 300,000, 400,000, we tend to have more of those available because, again, we've got so many great, beautiful neighborhoods in this area with big, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square foot homes. But then also at that price point, you're competing with new construction, and there's been a lot of new construction over the last 2 years as well. So a lot of buyers, just based on our general income in this area, are more in that, you know, 200 to 250 mark is kind of an average price point, and that's where we are really seeing low numbers of homes available.
Now, are you seeking, or do you have anyone that's seeking anything specific, or do you have anything that is going on the market you want people to know about?
Yeah, I have a home this weekend coming on the market. It should be up Saturday afternoon. It's in Fair Grove on Shelby Road. It is a really sweet little two-bedroom, one-bathroom house. It's got two living areas, and it's on 6 acres. So that will be coming on the market this weekend for $169,900. So anticipate that one being very busy with showings this weekend. And then I have a couple more listings next week that'll be coming on the market as well, but I can't quite talk about those yet. So it's always, I try to post those on my Facebook page as well as Instagram, but then I know everyone also has Zillow and Trulia and Realtor on their phones. So that's also where you're going to get those notifications when the house comes on the market as well.
All right. Anything else people need to know, or do we got a wrap on her this week?
I think that's about everything this week. Okay. You know, if you are thinking of selling your home or you're thinking of buying, you know, I love to be a resource and to help you kind of get started, even if you're not ready to buy just yet or ready to sell, but you want to know what your house may be worth. You know, everyone always apologizes to me saying, oh, I'm sorry, I hope this is not a waste of your time. And it's never a waste of my time, because not only do I get to meet you and see your home, I know that at some point you may be ready to sell. So if I have a buyer that comes along and your home is exactly what they're looking for, it'll kind of, you know, spring up in my memory, and I can give you a call and see if you're ready, or maybe figure out a way that we could do what's called an authorization to show, where I just show your house to that one buyer. So it's never a waste of my time. So I always feel bad that people think they need to apologize. But, you know, I love helping people figure out you know, what their budget is as far as purchasing, or if they're thinking of selling, maybe some things they need to do before selling, and then what their home could potentially sell for.
Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Her number is 890-1455. And as always, I recommend that they follow you on Facebook. Great way to communicate with you there. Have a wonderful weekend, and hopefully we'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you, Nick.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. We've got an updated traffic here with Don Luzader. Now I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. The News Tribune, this is Jefferson City, county there. They've got an opinion piece here. State wisely bans kid-friendly marijuana edibles. Among the new state laws that took effect August 28th was one designed to make marijuana-infused products less appealing to children. Missouri voters approved medical marijuana by a wide margin 2 years ago. Since then, more than 60,000 Missourians have applied for and received medical marijuana cards. In states where marijuana is legal in some form, the edible industry has thrived. The variety of shapes, textures, colors, and types has also boomed. The problem is some edibles have popped up across the country looking like they are something out of a cereal box, including children-friendly edibles that look identical to gummy bears sold at stores. Fortunately, Missouri lawmakers aren't allowing manufacturers to use shapes like animals, fruit, or cartoon characters for their products, according to a news release from the Missouri Medical Cannabis Trade Association. However, the products may be manufactured in geometric shapes, such as circles, squares, or rectangles. And it goes on to talk about how the edibles must be contained in packaging, stamped with a diamond containing the letter THC. We're so regulated. I mean, even what is considered to be such a red state, there's regulations everywhere. And this is the sort of thing that most people... it's like a no-brainer, right? Well, yeah. Why make it look kid-friendly? Why make it look like something a kid would want to eat? And, of course, the goal is to prevent kids from doing drugs, right? This, to me, happens to be an example of creating a regulation that is not going to stop any kid from doing drugs. There are kids that do drugs. I think we know this. I mean, obviously, this happened for a very, very long time. Nancy Reagan, you know, just say no. That was aimed at kids when it came to drugs. Just don't do it. Just say no. You know, that was that ad campaign. A public service campaign. So drugs are something that not just kids, obviously, but adults, kids have done since man discovered the ability of to take some sort of substance, put it into their body, and then feel in a way that is significantly different than they felt beforehand. This is just me. I don't believe in any significant way you would have kids that otherwise would not do drugs start doing them because it's shaped like a giraffe. Especially if you have to have a medical card in order to buy it, and it comes in packaging that obscures what the shape looks like anyway, and it's, you know, got the THC stamped on it. I mean, it's presented. It's not like it's sold in the candy store with all the other gummy bears, you know, but this happens to have THC in it. It's not like that sort of situation. I just think of, you know, behavior. What causes people to do what they do? What causes young people to do drugs? I don't think it's been for the flavor so far. This is just my experience in talking with people who have done different forms of drugs. Whether it was, I guess, you know, either smoked or eaten. I've never met anyone who said they did it for the flavor. I mean, it just happened. I haven't, like, well, I don't really like the effect of LSD, but, you know, it tastes good. Or, well, you know, the high I get from marijuana, it's okay and all, but if it weren't for how good it tasted, I probably wouldn't do it. I just don't know anyone who does that. So I don't believe that having some sort of drug that is shaped in a fun way is going to be what makes a child decide to try and seek it out and take it. I mean, again, I suppose there could be more of an argument if it's just on the shelf next to the other candy at the gas station or the convenience store. But in order for a child to get their hands on something like this anyhow, they would have to go to some pretty either extraordinary lengths to get it. You know, you'd have to find somebody who has a medical card that is able to legally get it. You would have to convince that person, to do it. That is a concerted effort that I don't believe any young person would go through just to eat something that looked like a gummy bear. If it was about something that looked like a gummy bear, they would just go buy gummy bears. Now, of course, the argument is, well, that's not why they're doing it. Well, that's my point, is that they're not doing it because of the shape. Well, it may be enticing to them. Well, again, think about this, what you have to do in order to obtain one of those. It's a very concerted effort. Now, will there be scenarios, I guess, where you have parents that have these things laying around where kids could have access to them? Well, yeah. But I don't know that. I just don't envision having some parents with a bowl of opened gummy giraffes that have THC in them laying around the house. Generally, people who buy these products are pretty protective of them. They buy them for two purposes. Now, of course, in a black market, some get into the game of making money. But if, generally a person is doing it for their own personal consumption, and they're not going to just open up the individual packets and put them in a big candy bowl and leave them laying around, or it's just not. That's not human behavior of a person who goes to the trouble of getting a medical marijuana card, makes an appointment, goes through all of that stuff. Then they go to actually purchase it. The behavior of a person like that is not one that just leaves it laying around for kids to get. And then a kid being enticed only because it's shaped like a giraffe that's purple instead of a gummy circle. Is this like the biggest deal in the world, given that we are so regulated in everything that we do? Absolutely not. I just happen to look at what is the intended purpose here, and I know what it is. It is to make sure that kids don't do drugs. Is this why kids do drugs, and therefore is this going to stop kids from starting drugs or continuing on doing drugs? I don't think in any meaningful way it's going to make any bit of a difference. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty good at lining these things up oftentimes. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. The mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, who really is becoming one of the many symbols of absolute failure. And what happens when progressivism is implemented in any form? You get the total breakdown of society. You get chaos. You get law-abiding people that are contributors to society becoming victims, while those who are not contributors to society but are frankly just worthless individuals that have no direction in life basically rule the day. Everything's turned upside down. Patients running the asylum. Yesterday he announced, I'm taking the step even further forward, ordering police to not use any sort of tear gas in order to try to control rioters. It is such a difficult thing for thinking people to comprehend. Watching somebody in charge make decisions that leads to chaos, and then instead of saying, oh, maybe I'm doing it wrong, do more of what created the chaos. It is insanity. Most thinking people, we watch this play out, and it's difficult to understand why do they continue to allow this to happen? I mean, this is a guy who's had to move out of his own apartment because of rioters, or condo, or whatever. Another example, again, of how if you're rich, you can afford to be liberal, because while he can just pick up and move and get out of the way, other people don't have that same luxury. They're subject to it. And so you have the rioters controlling everything, continuing to cause massive damage to innocent people, creating victim after victim after victim. For, you know, going beyond 3 months at this point, and you and I, as normal people, keep waiting for him to wake up and go, okay, all right, I admit it. Clearly, my way of doing this is not working. But instead, he does more. And now, assuring the rioters, you don't have to worry about tear gas any longer. So another notch in the win column for the criminals under the Democratic mayor of Portland, and another massive mark in the loss column for citizens within the city. I'm sure it's Trump's fault, of course. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. You can officially get those KSGF masks with the Reagan quote, government's not the solution to the problem, government is the problem, at Wilkerson Insurers. Now, these are first come, first serve, limited supply. They cost you nothing. You just need go buy. Now, what I have failed to mention is the mask itself. One of the differences is it is adjustable. So most masks, they've got the elastic band on either side, and you know it's elastic, so that's considered adjustable. Now, these are somewhat elastic as well, but they have I'm not going to describe this very well, but this little metal cylinder that the loop has gone through, so you can pull that cylinder closer to the mask in order to tighten it up, or, you know, if your ears are further back on your head, if you got a big kind of melon head like I do, you can slide that little metal cylinder back, and that gives you more slack. And so there's an adjustability factor there that isn't with all masks. And I know a lot of people, you know, just way heads are shaped and so forth, maybe masks are too loose on your head. You got a little tiny head, a little fun-sized head. Or, you know, they're too tight and uncomfortable. And so that gives you the ability to make the adjustments that will be most comfortable for you. The doors did open at 8:30, 321 East Sunshine. That's just right up against Jefferson. Landmark-wise, if you are on Sunshine, you are heading east, and you go past Bass Pro, cross Campbell, there's Wendy's, there's KFC, you just keep going, and right before Jefferson there and the elementary school is where you're on the north side of the road going to see Wilkerson Insurers. And one per person, if you would, please. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Hey, good morning. We are learning more about a Webster County deputy who died in a crash Thursday on I-44 near Marshfield. The Highway Patrol says Justin Burney was 26 years old and from Marshfield. He died when another vehicle went off of the interstate through the median cable and into the opposite lanes of traffic into the path of Bernie's car. Two of Bernie's kids were hurt. A six-year-old girl had serious injuries, and a three-year-old boy had minor injuries. Troopers say everyone involved was wearing in the crash was wearing a seatbelt. Now, Bernie was a sergeant who primarily worked at the Webster County Jail. Christian County plans to offer drive-through COVID-19 testing in Ozark. The test site west of 25th Street will be open on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays by appointment only. Folks who live in Christian County can call the Emergency Management Office to set up an appointment. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. A 30% chance of showers this afternoon, a high of 80. Tonight, chance of showers, thunderstorms, low of 65. Tomorrow, showers possible, though slight. High of 80 and Sunday sunny with a high of 80 at 64. Cloudy. I haven't talked about this Netflix cuties controversy because I don't like going into something much if I haven't seen or experienced it, and I don't want to watch this show. Now, if you're not familiar with this film called Cuties, it is an offering on Netflix, and it is a story essentially about a bunch of 11-year-olds, one in particular, like 10 or 11-year-olds, finding themselves. And their way of finding themselves is through the sort of dancing that not too long ago, even an adult wouldn't be allowed to. It's like beyond Madonna stuff. They keep referencing the fact that the girls are twerking, but it's much more than that. Now, I can say that because this has continued to grow in controversy, if you will, and there was a posting online where someone had posted clips of certain scenes. And I thought, well, I'm going to watch a couple of these just so I, because here's what had happened. There was controversy over the poster, and the poster sexualized these 11-year-old kids. And then Netflix was saying, well, the poster gives the wrong impression. Really, it's not that bad. People are watching it and they're saying it's worse. It's worse than we ever even imagined. It's pedophile stuff. This is something that a pedophile would put together. People should be arrested for it. This is what's being said. So I thought, okay. So I thought I'd watch a couple scenes, and my assessment, yeah, going into it, I thought, maybe people are, I don't want to say overblowing it, but people are taking what may be on the outrage scale between 1 and 10, a 6.5 or 7, and making it 11. I watched a couple clips, and I decided I didn't want to watch any of the rest. It's bad stuff. I mean, it's bad stuff. There, of course, is the extremely, I don't know how you could portray dancing in a more sexual nature than they did. I don't know how. In addition to that, there are, and I'm not going to get too graphic here, but things that, I mean, just telling you should make you uncomfortable, where one of the girls who's 10 or 11, she locks herself in her bathroom and she's got her phone and her dad, I guess it is, beating on the door trying to get the phone back. And she pulls down her pants, takes a picture of her naked privates. Now, you don't see her naked privates, but you see what she's doing, and then post it on the internet. So, I mean, it's just, anyone who watches it and is not uncomfortable, I would worry about. I'll put it this way, and this is my honest assessment, and I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm trying to be as objective as possible here. Anyone that just really wanted to watch a film like that, I would not, in a million years, allow to babysit my 11-year-old. Wouldn't do it. Anyone who watched it and thought, no, that's no big deal. Never in a million years would I leave. I wouldn't, even if I was there, allow them around my 11-year-old. The idea that there is an entertainment value that is pleasurable in an entertaining fashion at watching 11-year-olds behave this way, to me, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I can tell you this. It is impossible for me to believe that there is a pedophile who has Netflix that will not watch this. I'm telling you, every pedophile in existence. You want to know what homes you're going to see this on? Pull up the sex offender map and find those that are convicted sex offenders of crimes against children. Every one of those households is going to be, you're going to have people signing up for Netflix that don't have it if they're pedophiles in order to watch this. That should tell us something. Now, there's a lot of questions as to why. You know, what is the why? You know, number one, is it just some pervert that decided to do this? What, you know, wants? But then to have Netflix do it. Now, here's another step further. And this is where things are definitely, this is why it's unavoidable to talk about this. The CEO of Netflix appeared on CNN for 10 minutes to do a Q&A. Poppy Harlow, CNN Newsroom. Reed Hastings, who's the CEO, was asked, you know, obviously it's 10 minutes of questions and answers, and they're, you know, talking about diversity and so forth. Not once did they ask about this film. Now, this is, regardless of your beliefs, and you think this is the greatest film in the world, right now, this is a hugely controversial topic. And CNN has the CEO of the company that is promoting it and putting it out there, and they don't ask him about it once? Now, why would that be? Why? There has been a narrative by a small portion of the population for some time that people on the left are actively trying to normalize pedophilia. And it is becoming more and more difficult to say that's some sort of crazy conspiracy. When you have something like this that's put out, and there are scenes with adults. There's one of the scenes that I did watch. These 10, 11-year-old girls were showing off their dancing ability. And even the camera zooming in and stuff, and they're doing it in front of these two adult men. And one of them, the camera shows he's really liking it. He's looking at it, leering. I mean, it's just, it is so uncomfortable to watch. And you have it put out there, and if you have some sort of problem with that, you're called a prude. Now, if promoting this sort of film and telling people who don't like it that there's something wrong with them, that they're just, you know, right-wing crazies, that, to me, there's a strong argument that that is an attempt to normalize the sexualization of 10 and 11-year-olds. And why would you try to do that unless you were a supporter of pedophilia? Now, of course, out in California, Democrats recently passed legislation that diminished the punishment for people who have sex with kids as long as they fall within a certain age window. You know, and so there are legislative attempts by the left in this country to take punishments that involve adults having sex with kids and make it less severe. Films like this are being put out, and we're being told that it's normal and that not liking it means something's wrong with you. You have right now online, I mean, it is the number one talked about thing regarding Netflix online right now and on radio and, you know, other venues. You have CNN has the CEO of the company that's promoting this film and doesn't even ask him about it. Why would you not ask unless you think that this is no big deal? It's a silly controversy. Silly. Who doesn't want to watch 11-year-old girls perform in a manner that was sexual. I think back to the criticism of the Ramseys. Remember JonBenet Ramsey? And there was a deal of universal criticism all across political spectrums that her parents contributed to her potentially being in harm's way, which obviously she was, because they put her out there in a way that made her appear sexual. And that was a big criticism. And that was a criticism that they would be asked about by journalists in sit-down interviews after JonBenet Ramsey was found dead. What JonBenet Ramsey, the way that she was dressed and performed in the pageant, is absolutely, it's so G-rated compared to what is in this film. I'm telling you, you cannot dismiss the notion that there are efforts by many people on the left to normalize pedophilia at this point. You can't. Now, I'm not saying that this is a slam dunk case that proves it, but you cannot say that that is a fringe belief. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. 19 years ago, the terrorist attack on our nation. President Trump has arrived at a ceremony, and he is going to be speaking at some time. If Sarah's going to tell me, she monitors it, if when he's getting ready to speak, and if he's getting ready to, and we still have enough time left in the show to where we'll be able to get a significant portion of what he says, we will go to that. Otherwise, I'm not going to go to him if there's 30 seconds left in the show, and then, it breaks straight to news after that, and it just wouldn't be meaningful. So just let you know, we will be doing that. I was talking about this Netflix, this film Cuties that has been put out there. And I think that you can no longer claim that people who believe there is a push to normalize pedophilia, that is some fringe belief. Seeing not only the film itself, but the way that it is, that they're trying to pretend that it's normal. And frankly, that's what a lot of pedophiles, they have even their own little groups in their communities who believe that it is normal. And while as a society we have collectively agreed that that's insane, we're now seeing companies like Netflix and this got either awards or nominations at Sundance. And I'm telling you, when they describe it as 11-year-olds twerking, that is the least of what's going on in this film. Just from the few clips that I saw. Now, I'm going to throw something in this whole realm that I don't know. I don't know how it fits in, but it just, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to suggest any sort of conspiracy theory or anything. But at the same time, is it not odd that we have an attempt by many people on the left to normalize this sort of view of girls around that age? And at the same time, we have a presidential candidate who is known for treating girls in a way that is uncomfortable to watch and uncomfortable to them. I mean, the timing of this, and I'm not suggesting that the timing is like this film was created in order to make Joe Biden look normal, but it is clear Joe Biden is has behaved over time in a way around girls that are prepubescent, that we have long told young girls, you don't let adults treat you this way. If somebody ever touches you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, you tell an adult. And you never, ever, ever let anyone tell you that it's okay for them to make you feel uncomfortable. All that matters is how you feel. Well, it's not a matter of opinion as to whether or not these kids have felt uncomfortable. You could see the footage of it. They physically try and pull away from Joe Biden. And we excuse it. Now, you and I don't, but the media does. Oh, pfft. How long have we told young people, it doesn't matter who it is, it doesn't matter if they mean anything, if it makes you uncomfortable, it is wrong. And now all of a sudden, we're sending this other message when it comes to Joe Biden. Well, it's okay, he doesn't mean anything by it. You just need to deal with it. And at the same time that we've got that going on, you have this film Cuties out there, you have Netflix promoting it, and everyone acting like, no, it's what are you talking about? Having 11-year-old girls writhe around and simulate sex and do it in front of adult men and take pictures of their private parts and post them online and, you know, all that. No, what do you mean? Oh, what are you, a prude? It is becoming increasingly difficult to claim that there is no concerted effort to normalize sexualizing children and, you know, perhaps even a step further than that. CNN just won't even talk about it. Whether it's an organic move by this pervert community of pedophiles or it is some sort of coordinated effort, I don't know. But none of it ends in the right place, I'm telling you. And this stuff rarely ever goes backwards. Whatever happens today, as outrageous as it is, we find ourselves, you know, in 10 years saying, remember when we thought that was bad? And if that's what we're going to be saying about a film like this in 10 years from now, I mean, the only thing that we could be exposed to that in 10 years from now make us look back on a film like Cuties and say, gosh, remember when we thought that was bad? It's full-blown pornography with underage children being promoted out there, and we're told, no, it's perfectly normal and natural. Now, speaking of, I'm telling you, these people on the left are lunatics. Trevor Noah, The Daily Show, who's, in my opinion, biggest offense is the fact that he's not even really funny, but he's supposed to be, I guess, was, doing a bit about that gender reveal party in California that they are attributing to all of these fires out in California, though Nancy Pelosi has claimed that that's Mother Earth and she's angry. That's why those fires occurred. That's a whole nother story. But Trevor Noah was doing a bit on it, and he used it in order to commentate on gender reveal parties and how outdated they are because children haven't decided their gender yet. He said, aside from all the damage it can cause, celebrating a baby's genitalia is starting to feel very outdated. Like, given everything that we've learned about gender, gender reveal parties should only happen when the child is old enough to know their actual gender. Can the left be any more detached from science than they are? It is as if even the very basic fundamentals of science, the Democrat Party has decided to completely throw out the window. It is a level of insanity that once was attributed to people that were wearing straitjackets, were in padded cells, and now it's treated like normal. And then people who understand science are treated as if they're outdated. It's outdated to know the gender of a child. Nancy Pelosi, she's out there claiming that hurricanes, God, these people, I mean, once again, anti-science. Hurricanes and the recent fires, again, which evidently were started by humans, is actually Mother Earth punishing us because she's angry because we don't respect her. Now, I'm sorry. I remember people. I don't know if it was Jerry Falwell or somebody, some person that was, you know, held up as a very religious person, talking about, you know, there'll be a hurricane and they'll say, well, it's God punishing us for our sins. And they act like that is the most crazy, lunatic thing in the world. All right. You know, it's not necessarily something I believe. But the left, the media, they portray it as just absolute insanity. Nancy Pelosi, on the other hand, says, well, it's not God. No, it's Mother Earth. She's angry. Well, and that's a perfectly legitimate thing for the Speaker of the House to say. That's not insane at all. That's what people used to believe whenever they thought the Earth was flat and the entire universe rotated around it. That is how far back Nancy Pelosi is taking people when it comes to the grasp of science. By the way, Joe Biden's Facebook page has not made any post about 9/11. Glenn Beck is coming up next. Hope you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you Monday. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1.